This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Now, 60 minutes of nonstop talk on the Rich Cioli podcast.
Double jeopardy. The left celebrates because they say now we can get President Trump. He announces his re-election tonight, and in Philadelphia, District Attorney Larry Krasner blames everybody but bad guys for the crime spree that's happening. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here, the Cioli Show, on Twitter at Rich Cioli, 855-839-1210, 1210wphg.com. Always stream the show on the radio.com app. Easy to do, and you can get the podcast as well right there. Yes. I'll tell you, when the country was founded, there were three laws, three federal laws, and sometimes, as I'm trying to do a million things, I forget things. So it's always good the Cioli Army's there to remind me that the three laws were, in fact, easy to remember enough if you can just pay attention, as Dante did today, remind me. It were treason, counterfeiting, and piracy. That's it. Treason, counterfeiting, and piracy. Now there's millions of state laws and codes and regulations, with thousands, tens of thousands of them. It'd be impossible for the average person to remember. Federal government has become way too powerful over all of our lives. And the Supreme Court yesterday said, yeah, it's perfectly fine. No problem. It's perfectly fine to do. And there was a time, I guess, I don't know, maybe there was a time when people on the left used to care about civil liberties. I don't know, because it seems as if the only liberal left on the planet who cares about civil liberties is Alan Dershowitz. That's it. Doesn't seem like anybody else is there. I want to know where all the liberals are today standing up and saying it is unconscionable that the state and the feds can go after you for the same offense. Where are they? No, you're not going to find them out there anymore. Now, instead, from whether it's the New York Times or it's these liberal professors on Twitter, or it's even liberal publications, with the exception of Slate, which I found that they even said, they are all celebrating this ruling. Now the Supreme Court says, we can go after you, federal and state. That's the end of Paul Manafort, Michael Flynn, and all of the Trump cronies. His pardons can't protect anybody. Now think about that for a moment, right? Think about what that means. It means two things. Number one, it means that the states can now undo a presidential pardon. So that then renders the pardon power of the president basically useless. But I guess the question would be, why would a president have to pardon somebody for a crime that's also a state crime, since wouldn't the feds cover it in their state crime? Why would there be a redundancy there? You know what I mean? In other words, the president can't pardon somebody for a state offense. President can't pardon you for murder, but he can pardon you if you're accused in federal court of violating that person's civil rights, which the federal law would do. So imagine this now. You murder somebody, and state court says, not guilty, you didn't do it. But the feds charge you with civil rights violating the civil rights of that person. Goes to federal court. Feds find you guilty. President says, I think you got a raw deal, and I'm going to pardon that person. Now, that's the way you would think. Okay, well, I guess now that the president has said this is silly. But why should the president be involved when it was a murder anyway? It's because we've said civil rights violations are the way we'll get around racist juries, for example. That's kind of how this all began. We'll get around racist juries by now making it a federal civil rights violation. But what about this? What if the feds say you're guilty of, say, money laundering, which is clearly a federal offense, right? Using wire transfers over state lines, all that other stuff. President pardons you, but the state comes along and says, nah, not so fast, because we have very similar laws in our state. So now we're charging you in our state. Now, you can cheer that on and say, great, because now we're definitely going to get the bad guy. But we've got a long way from saying we're going to deal with racist juries, have we not, to now say we're going to find a way to get you no matter what, whichever level we have to get you on. The danger of this, I don't even have to tell you what the danger of this is, because you know. The danger of this means that as time goes on, there's going to be a duplicative federal and state law for everything. For everything. Why not? You just make it a state crime. You make it a state crime to say, commit. Let's use the old three, classic three: bribery, piracy, and treason. Right? It's a state crime to commit treason against the United States of America, because it also hurts the state. Why not? So now the president pardoned somebody for treason? Well, now we charge him with treason in New Jersey. I mean, it's a ridiculous example, but it's not that ridiculous because people get charged all the time with multiple federal and state crimes, and they keep coming after you. And there's only two justices on the Supreme Court that had a problem with this, Justice Gorsuch and Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And to her credit, she's 100% right on this. And I wonder, too, if the other liberal judges on the court purposely did not go with her because of the issue of Trump's pardons. You know, the Supreme Court is a very political animal. Don't pretend like it's not. And I have to wonder now if Elena Kagan and Sonia Sotomayor, if they decided that, you know, we don't like the idea of double jeopardy either, but we got to find a way to be able to let the states go after Trump and his people. I wouldn't be surprised if they thought that in their heads. Wouldn't be surprised for a moment if they thought that in their heads. Because that's the reaction from most people as they hear what's happening. As they hear what's happening, most people turn around and go, on the left, and go, well, good. Now there's no way for Trump's pardons to protect his cronies. I remember, too, a time in this country when we thought to ourselves, we can't allow the federal government to have this much power over the individual. Now it's the opposite. Now it's the opposite. We love the federal authority. And for people on the left, they love the federal and state authority, the combined, the combo platter. Why? Because of the state of New York. See, most of Trump's alleged crimes were committed in the state of New York. And their fear has always been that President Trump would pardon his son, his son-in-law, his sons, his daughter, everybody in Trump, Trump Inc., and then they'd all be, they get off scot-free. But the state of New York is investigating them relentlessly, and the crimes are very similar. New York State has criminal offenses that deal with financial crimes that are very similar to federal financial crimes. They're almost exact. So if the president pardons you, the spirit of the pardon will be gone because the state says, well, we still get our crack at the apple. If they were tried in federal court, and the federal court said, not enough evidence there, the state of New York says, we don't care, we're going to go after him anyway. So they'll get Trump's people. Meanwhile, liberty is crushed. And there's nobody except for Alan Dershowitz cares on the left. Nobody but Justice Gorsuch on the Supreme Court. You know, I'm not surprised by Roberts and Kavanaugh. These guys love, it seems to me very obvious, they love big government. They do. I mean, Roberts is the guy who gave us Obamacare, and he did it based on a district ruling by Judge Kavanaugh. So I'm not really too surprised about those two. I'm very disappointed in Alito. Clarence Thomas's concurring opinion is very different, and I could do a whole show on that. But let's just put it this way. I'm not nearly as disappointed with Thomas because of his reasoning. But still, what does it tell you about the state of our country today that there are people on the left who go, I am so glad that we'll be able to go after everybody in Trump's world on the state level, no matter what he does on the federal level. What does it say to you about that? It says to me that we are so willing at this point in our nation to say, civil liberties be damned, the Bill of Rights be damned, the Constitution be damned, just get our guy out of there. Get him out of there or put in who we want. As long as we win politically, we're willing to sacrifice all those things. Now, you know, karma is a you-know-what. Karma is a bee. And the problem with giving the government all this power is that someday you're not in charge and someday they're coming after you. And that's really the big problem here. 855-839-1210. Joe is in Cherry Hill. Joe, good morning.
Good morning, Rich. I heard you ask if there's any liberal on planet Earth who backs you on this and supports free speech, and I'm here to report in. I'm the only liberal on planet Earth who agrees with you right now.
Good, excellent. I'm glad. Well, welcome, Joe. It's good to hear you say that. So tell me your reasons for agreeing.
Well, I agree for all the reasons you do. Again, it's not about who is in power. It's not about hating a certain president or hating a certain party. It's about upholding, you know, our laws and the principles of our government and our jurisprudence and all of those things, freedom of speech. But the main reason, and I've talked to my liberal friends about this, and I've given up trying to explain to them why this is wrong and why, even though we all hate Trump, it's not a good thing to do, it's because they cannot conceive of this ever coming back to bite them. It just doesn't even enter into their heads that there could be a Democrat president, for example, who would pardon someone that was deserving. And the Republicans, out of spite for that Democratic president, could now use this mechanism that they put in place, you know, to overturn the pardon. It's the same example as with you know, Senate confirmations, when they changed the rule on that under Harry Reid, and then it came back to bite them. It just, it does not enter into their calculations that, you know, it is a good thing to uphold our civil liberties, because if you don't, or if you, you know, let them slide, or if you make exceptions, it could come back to bite you. It does not even enter into their calculations.
Well said, my friend. You said it beautifully. I can imagine the frustration of you arguing with them. It's just why you said you've given up. I get it. I totally get it.
I have. I've given up. I've just, it's been 4 years now, and I did not vote for Trump. I probably won't vote for Trump in 2020. But I do try to be fair, and I do try to call balls and strikes, and I'm just worn out. I've given up. So it's nice to hear at least like Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Alan Dershowitz and probably Marr and a couple other same people out there agree, because it's getting rough. But, you know, appreciate it and enjoy the show. So
now would you, as a liberal, wear a Zioli Army T-shirt?
Would I have to be photographed in it, or could I just
say
that I wore it?
No, you can't sleep in it. You'd have to wear it in public.
Could it be in the closet?
Yeah, no, you have to. It's not a sleep shirt, Joe. You'd have to go out there in public with it.
You put me on the spot here.
It's all right, well, you think about it and call back, all right? Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it. 855-839-1210. He's like, do I have to be photographed in it? Yeah, that's the whole point. You're not going to. It's not a...
to deal with his friends, you know.
I know.
Being shamed.
Poor guy. Poor guy. Let's see. Andy is in Marlton. Andy, good morning.
Good morning, Rich. It just brings up an interesting topic, especially with the 25th anniversary of OJ. Talking about the double indemnity, I realize it's maybe not necessarily federal and it all gets mixed up here, but how are you found innocent of a murder charge, but you're found guilty of violating someone's civil rights?
You mean how does the process work?
Well, it just seems to me that I think he was guilty. And he murdered those two, both of them.
You're talking about the OJ case. You're saying
yes. Okay. How do you follow the logic of the double indemnity when we know that everyone knows he's guilty except some racists, and he gets off, and then they turn around and everyone's happy with the fact that they get him on violating their civil rights? What civil rights? Oh, he killed them. Well, wait a minute, he's innocent. I'm still trying to figure that one out. I'm glad he got some sort of penalty, but I don't understand how.
Right.
How does that fit into the legal system? It just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, look, it doesn't make sense.
Can you explain that?
Well, I mean, it doesn't make sense to a lot of people. The concept being that I have civil rights. You've murdered me, therefore you've taken my civil rights from me. And
but
that's,
I didn't.
I'm trying to make you understand their reasoning on this.
Okay.
And so therefore, since my civil rights are protected by the 14th Amendment, you've now committed a federal offense by murdering me.
But he didn't murder them. That's what the court said.
I know. This is the problem with double jeopardy, right? This is the problem, is that in the goal to try to undo what people would say would be a jury who deliberately got something wrong, say you use a Klan member, for example, and they say, well, you know, we're going to make a federal crime against, say, lynching, right? And so even though you were found not guilty of murder, there's the federal offense of lynching, so now we're going to try you on lynching, and we'll get a different jury and find you guilty on that. That's the concept. And so people would defend this because they'd say, how else can you deal with a racist Southern jury? But you know what? We're not there anymore, Andy. We're not even close to being there anymore.
I agree. And that's what I'm saying. Once you get into this whole idea of federal versus state, double indemnity, it gets very confusing to me. And as long as it always comes out the way I like, I'll go along with it. But when it goes against something I don't like, I won't agree with it.
Exactly. That's the thing. That's always the problem. You hit the nail on the head. Exactly right. thanks, Andy. Appreciate it, bud.
All right, Rich. Thank you, Andy.
You got it. 855-839-1210. I mean, it's very easy to come up with scenarios where you go, thank God for this. And they've made movies about this where they say, you know, we got him on the federal charges and we're putting him away. It's very easy to do that. Until, you know, 30, 40, 50 years in the future, you turn around and go, wait a second, we're not dealing with racist Southern juries anymore. We're dealing with overzealous prosecutors who are trying to get their guy no matter what, and they're using every tool they possibly can, federal and state, to go after people. It has nothing to do with the Klan anymore. It has everything to do with prosecutors who want to make names out of themselves and careers. And these are not even crimes where necessarily anybody even was physically hurt. And they'll go, well, it's a financial crime, and so therefore we're going to go after them state, federal, both. How about both? And there are people that do. They're guilty in both state and federal court. They got to go to multiple concurrent terms for essentially the same offense. It's nuts. Mark is in Wayne. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Rich, how you doing? Great show.
Thank you, sir.
And I plan to listen for the next 12 years because I guess that's all we got.
That's all we got. Make it good.
Yeah, in those 12 years, I'm going to take a train to Hawaii, too. I got to do it once. Anyway, real quick, the OJ situation, I mean, the Supreme Court decision was horrible. You're exactly right. But the OJ decision is not apropos. OJ was tried twice in state court. The first was a state criminal trial by the state prosecutor's office, and he was found not guilty. The second was a state civil trial for money damages, which is a completely different burden of proof, civil versus criminal. Criminal side, you have to prove the defendant's guilt beyond a reasonable doubt. Or, you know, Democrats have now stepped on that in the era of Trump. Now you're guilty till proven innocent. That's another point. But on the civil side, it's simply a preponderance of the evidence, 51-49, more likely than not. So those were two state trials. There was not a civil, a state and a federal trial in, with respect to OJ.
Thank you for clarifying that point. Yeah, I tried to take it away from that and bring it to the Klan stuff. But yeah, thank you for clarifying that point. Do you think that there's any double jeopardy problems with civil trials after somebody's been found not guilty in a criminal trial?
No, because again, it's not really, you know, double jeopardy applies to the same criminal prosecution. Civil and criminal are two distinct penalties. One is you can lose your freedom. The other is you could be liable for money damages. So they're completely distinct and separate animals.
Right.
Double jeopardy. Thank you, Rich.
No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, double jeopardy, as you've so eloquently stated all morning, prevents you from being prosecuted for the same crime twice by a separate governmental entity. But you can commit one single act which has both criminal and civil consequences.
Well said. Mark, thanks, bud. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Rich.
You got it. 855-839-1210. We got a super smart audience in the Zioli Army, I'll tell you that. Smart, creative, loyal as hell. Even the liberals in their Zioli Army t-shirts in their closet. I'm never going to let that happen, by the way. But we do want to do a contest, though, where you get spotted in the boardwalk with a Zioli Army t-shirt. You get a prize.
I love that idea.
Right? We could do that.
It's perfect.
We should get on the back of the shirt. It should say, "Where's Dawn?"
For the next printing, we definitely have to.
Zioli Army on the front. Where's Dawn in the back?
There's a lot of good ideas that I like. Even if we just do limited printings of different shirts, different slogans on the shirt, I think it's a great idea.
Yeah,
I agree.
I like it too. And we can put subtle things in there too, little subtle Easter eggs.
Yes, yeah, so that's what I mean.
The Rich Zioli Show on your schedule. This is the Zioli Show podcast.
Okay, excellent. So we got covering a lot of ground here today. Let us shift gears for a moment, shall we, to Beto O'Rourke, who dodges Jake Tapper's question about crossing the border, whether it should be a crime. What's amazing is that as we're making it tougher on United States citizens to be free, as we continue to make more and more crimes on us, both at the federal and state level, and now we have the opportunity for us to be charged concurrently on both federal and the state level for the same offense, and we give both the feds and the state the ability to go after the slice of the apple. Well, as opposed to people who enter the country illegally, the question of whether or not that's even a crime or not, if rock star Beto O'Rourke has his way, this is now CNN Jake Tapper asking him three separate times, trying to get an answer. Take a listen.
I want to talk about some domestic issues, too. Your fellow Texan and 2020 candidate Julian Castro's immigration plan calls for the repeal of a law that makes it a crime to enter the United States illegally. Do you agree with that? Should that law be repealed?
I don't know if it should be repealed, Jake, but I think that we should acknowledge that most of those who are arriving at our border right now, especially from Central America, are at their most desperate and vulnerable moment. They pose no threat or harm to this country. And we've proposed a family case management program so that they are not held in detention at a fraction of the cost and at an improved rate of showing for their court date or their appointments with ICE officials. We help them to follow our own laws, and we treat them like the human beings that they really are. So policies of caging kids or separating families or metering where we have migrants and asylum seekers wait in Mexico, where they are prey to criminals and to those who would take advantage of the most vulnerable. That cannot be this country. We have to live our values and ensure that our laws reflect our reality and our true interests in this country.
Okay, but just to get a straight answer on it, it sounds to me like you think the law that makes it a crime to be in this country illegally, it sounds like you think that that should stay the law.
I think what I'm saying is that in the vast majority of cases, there's no need to incarcerate or to detain migrant families and especially children. But if somebody is attempting to smuggle human beings into the United States, if they are attempting to cross illegal drugs into this country, I want to make sure that we have the legal mechanism necessary to hold them accountable and to detain them to make sure that they do not pose a threat to this country or to our communities.
But you disagree
with the bigger picture.
You disagree with Julian Castro. You don't think that it should be repealed.
Yeah, I've answered the question. I do not think that it should be repealed, but I'm trying to get to the heart of the issue, which is that we treat people humanely, that we improve our security, not through walls and through cages, but by making sure that those who are at their most vulnerable, who are trying to follow our asylum laws, are able to do that, and that we then rewrite this country's immigration laws in our own image. Having people come out of the shadows demonstrably makes us safer. Having folks trust local law enforcement because they have no fear that it will lead to their deportation makes our communities stronger, more secure, and safer. And then it allows this country of immigrants and asylum seekers and refugees to truly live our values to the benefit not just of
Why does Jake let him go and go and not shut him up and go, all right, enough with you? Why does he not step on him and go, that's it, zip it, man?
Of those immigrant families, but to the entire United States of America.
All right, thank you.
I think he just tuned out. I think Jake Tapper just tuned out and went, I don't know. The hell? So let him, he's rolling. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Now we also have, let's see, we have a couple of other little clips of these amazing, amazing people here. First of all, CNN's Paul Begala. He's a commentator and a Democrat strategist. At least he doesn't pretend like he's not a Democrat hack like George Stephanopoulos pretends. At least he's out there with it. We're talking about Joe Biden's candidacy and the former Veep. You know, he's kind of being reined in a little bit. Take a listen.
I think it's vitally important that Poor People's Campaign, which focuses on people of color, the Democratic nomination will be chosen by people of color. Too many of these candidates are running for the pain in the neck, overeducated, overcaffeinated white liberals on Twitter. I suppose I'm one of them. But the real people who will pick the nominee in my party will be people of color, like at that Poor People campaign. Very important that Biden is there.
And Biden said, when asked about the campaigning in the Sun Belt, he said today he was going to beat Trump in Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Texas, and Florida. That's a tall order, especially South Carolina and Texas, I would say.
It won't happen.
Do you think that he could be a strong candidate against Trump if it comes down to it? He is the front runner, right?
Yes, of course. I think almost all of them are strong candidates until they disqualify themselves by some wretched excess.
Well, you know, I think part of the reason for Joe Biden, the problem for Joe Biden, is that he is he's saying stupid things, as he always does. He can't help himself. He plays to whatever the crowd wants. See, this is what he does. This is why he says now, and I played this earlier, but it's worth playing again, why the first thing he would do would be to raise their taxes. Because he gets in the moment, he's with the crowd, and he tells them whatever he thinks they want to hear. That's the truth. Joe Biden is so dumb, he forgets there's television cameras and that he's being recorded. So he thinks if he just says this to the crowd, he's going to make this one woman happy and millions and millions and millions and millions of people won't hear it. He's in the moment and he says it. It feels right to say this.
What are you going to say about this lie of scarcity? Two, how are we going to immediately and fully, not incrementally, eliminate poverty? And three, what can you say about your view on military spending and the militarization and the problem of warmongering that's happening in this country and world?
Number one, we have the greatest income inequity in the history of the United States of America since 1902. And the fact of the matter is, there is plenty of money to go around. The first thing I would do as president was eliminate the president's tax cut.
There you go. He's in the moment. It feels right to say it. And he's turning around going, they're not going to hear this outside the room, right? Right? No, we said no flash photography and no recording devices. We're good? Okay, great. Now everybody understands Joe Biden, the first thing he'll do, not the second, not the third, first thing he does is raise taxes. Literally the first thing. He goes, puts his hand on the Bible, takes the oath of office. Congratulations, Mr. President. Now here's that executive order undoing the president's tax increase. Sign that, please. Now we'll go to the White House and have cake. First raise taxes, then cake, all right? That's how we do it. The first thing he would do. Amazing. 855-839-1210. But he does think he can win every single state in the South. From Georgia to North Carolina, South Carolina, Florida, Texas, every state. Why not? Take a
listen.
First
of all, I plan on campaigning in the South. I plan, and if I'm your nominee, winning Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina, believe it or not. And I believe we can win Texas and Florida if you look at the polling data now. Doesn't mean it's a marathon. It's a long way off. If you may recall, I'm the only person who went in and campaigned in the off-year election for the senator in Alabama. I was the only person invited down there to speak. Not the only, but I was the only one who wasn't a person of color who was invited down. I spent a lot of time campaigning in North Carolina and Texas and around the country. I have no intention of walking away if I'm the nominee. And if I'm not nominee, I have no intention of walking away and trying to help whoever the nominee is to win those states.
I was the only one invited down there who mattered because I'm white. I mean, not a person of color. I mean, it doesn't matter because I'm...
Oh, my God.
That is the ultimate Freudian slip, that Joe Biden does not think other people are people because they're people of color. That he has to remind himself they're also people. I was the only person invited down there. Well, not the only person. I mean, there were, you know, black and brown people, but you know what I mean. He literally has to remind himself that they're people too. That's amazing to me. He doesn't go, I was the only person down there who was a candidate. No, I'm the only person down there. Well, not the only person. I mean, they were also, you know, black people and brown people. But you know what I mean. I mean, I'm the only one who was, you know, white guy is what I mean here. You know,
I was the only person invited down there to speak. Not the only, but only one who wasn't a person of color.
And boy, were they relieved. Were they relieved, right? Huh? Imagine if Trump said that, they would be hammering him over this. Hammering him. Why don't you think people of color are people? Why do you have to remind yourself that they're also people? Joe Biden says it, they go, shucks, Joe. Just Joe being Joe. Did you ask him if...
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I work at Dunkin' Donuts while you were there.
Thanks for taking the Zeoli Show with you. Rich Zeoli, weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Okay. I'll tell you what, though. I still got to get to Larry Krasner. He's a jerk. You know what he tweeted out? DA Larry Krasner?
Mm-hmm.
A playground, a deli, a graduation party, dozens of victims. This weekend's tragic, alarming gun violence underscores why we must address the root cause of this public health crisis. Poverty, hopelessness, and a lack of gun control at state federal levels. That's his answer. Where does he point out bad guys? Criminals. How about that? Criminals might be part of the problem. You see, it's the victim mindset. Oh, poverty, hopelessness, lack of gun control. You see, the people who commit these crimes, they're just victims. Get it?
I'm looking up any statistical information that says Philadelphia is in more poverty than we were last year or 3 years ago or 4 years ago, and I don't see that.
It's the classic notion of if you solve poverty, you'll solve crime because people won't shoot each other if they have money. But that's just not true. People used to shoot each other when they had money all the time, right? It's just there's a certain level of people that are criminals, and that's not going to change. How many people? Let me ask you this: is there a lot of poverty within the drug cartels?
No.
No, right? They're pretty flush. Yeah. They're pretty flush. Is there violence and shootings within drug cartels?
Oh, yeah.
How about within the gangs, like the Bloods and the Crips? You think there's a lot of poverty within those gangs, or do they wind up committing crimes and stealing money, and they do pretty okay?
Yeah, they run the cities.
Right.
In a lot of these areas.
No more violence, no more shootings, no crime in the Bloods and the Crips, or any other gang, Latin Kings, M21, whatever it is?
Nope.
The idea that it's poverty, how many poor places are there in this country, right? A lot, unfortunately. There are pockets of poverty throughout the country. And yet, within those places, they're not necessarily shooting each other. It's the correlation is just not there. Yes, I understand that there's a need for people, Jean Valjean, to steal a loaf of bread to feed his kid. I get that because you have to eat, right? That's not what this is, though. This is not motivated by a sense of I'm fighting to feed my family by going in and robbing a grocery store. So the idea that this is the root cause of this is poverty and hopelessness and a lack of gun control, and that's going to somehow solve this problem. How much gun control? How many of the people that are involved in these shootings bought their guns legally is my question.
0.0.
So how's gun control have anything to do with it? And hopelessness... What do you think that's what it is? It's I have no hope. I'm going to go on a shooting spree.
You don't think that the Bloods and the Crips are going into Walmart and you know saying give me a Glock nine and
yeah. I want to do a little shopping for this. Can I do some shopping while I'm here?
Oh, can I get some bubble gum too?
Yeah. You know, and hopelessness. The answer is we just got to get them all greeting cards. You know, if you just give somebody a nice Hallmark card, they won't go out and shoot somebody this weekend. The problem, Dawn, we need some more motivational posters. We should start hanging motivational posters around these neighborhoods.
Exactly.
You can be anything you want to be. I mean, they make good targets. You know what I mean? Like that soaring eagle. You know no limits. You try to hit that eagle with your gun, it's a good target before you go rob a liquor store. I'm sorry. I'm digressing. Anyway, Dawn, how are you? It's 8:05. Good morning.
Good morning.
What's up?
Dawn Stensland, 8:05. There's a lot of interesting stuff. We have 71 degrees. It's very foggy, rainy, with a flood watch in effect for later this afternoon. Talk Radio 1210 WPHD News brought to you by Mercedes Northeast Region. So a New Jersey man becomes the latest American tourist to die mysteriously at a Dominican Republic resort. And officials are now saying 55-year-old Joseph Allen is at least the ninth American to die. So the State Department and FBI investigating. You may recall recently a Pennsylvania woman is also among those who died recently. Now the CDC joined the investigation after a group of parrot heads recently vacationing required treatments, dozens of them required treatment for getting seriously ill. And some of them drank from the mini bar. So this is now we have the FBI, the State Department, and now the CDC all joining after the parrot heads got very sick. So the investigation grows.
And I got to tell you, parrot heads, they can withstand anything. They poison their bodies so many years that's why they're alive now. See?
So when they say something's wrong in Margaritaville, you know
there's a trouble. Problem. Those livers have seen everything. Everything.
Researchers now blame a new reason for a rise in cases of the flesh-eating bacterial infection. It can be deadly. So new research suggesting climate change may lead to unlikely illnesses.
Obviously. Obviously climate change.
Duh. So they're pointing to New Jersey, actually, that there were 5 cases in just one hospital at Cooper, actually, where they treated people with this flesh-eating bacterial infection. And they're saying that it's spread by handling or eating contaminated seafood from the Delaware Bay. So saying, yeah, water temperatures rising in recent years is leading to this. And also swimming in brackish water with an open wound. So if it's not, I guess, scabbed over real good, don't go for a swim.
Man.
So it's kind of creepy.
The flesh-eating bacteria.
Yeah. So following up on Zioli's report about countries banning single-use plastic bags to curb pollution, Canada now announces they will have a complete ban by 2021. In Vancouver, there's this supermarket. The owner's idea has gone viral. It's pretty funny. He's hoping customers will, you know, shun their single-use plastic bags. And he's using a combo of humor and shame. So customers who don't bring their own bags to the market pay 5 cents per bag. These are brightly colored bags labeled Wart Ointment Wholesale or Intro the Weird Adult Video Emporium or Colon Care Co-op. So those are just some of the names of these bags that they put, like you got warts, you got colon cancer, you got some kind of an STD, and that sort of thing.
The shame. I would carry one of those bags with pride. I would in a heartbeat. Absolutely.
But I love that he's at least he's got a sense of humor. So that's kind of, you know.
Well, look, in his defense, it's a market-based solution,
yes.
Right? He doesn't want people to have plastic bags, so he shames them. And then you don't have to take a plastic bag if you don't want to. I actually admire that more than a guy who just says, "I'm not giving you a plastic bag."
This day in history, June 18th, 1928, American aviator Amelia Earhart becomes the first woman to fly across the Atlantic Ocean, landing at Burryport, Wales. And 1940, Winston Churchill's "This Was Their Finest Hour" speech, urging perseverance during Battle of Britain, delivering it to the British House of Commons. This day in history.
That's a great speech.
Yes.
I have a little bit of it if you'd like to hear something.
I would love to, yes.
Including all that we have known and cared for, will sink into the abyss of a new dark age, made more sinister and perhaps more protracted by the lights of perverted science. Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its Commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, "This was their finest hour."
Very nice.
Very nice. Eyewitness weather, not so nice this afternoon. 85 degrees is the high today. 40% chance of thunderstorms. 40%. This kind of weather, this pattern continues through Thursday. The nice thing is Friday looks beautiful. So the reimagined 2020 Mercedes-Benz GLE has more of everything, including optional third row seating. It comes fully equipped with the Mercedes-Benz user experience and natural voice recognition, so you and your car can be seamlessly connected. Visit MBUSA.com for more info today. I'm Dawn with the news. Talk Radio 1210 WPHTRadio.com.
The Rich Zioli Show on your schedule. This is the Zioli Show podcast.
I was thinking about this too with all these dumb bag bans that they're going on right now. The black market for bags will be huge. So we can trade. I'll bring soda. You bring me plastic bags. We'll trade each other.
Well, I'll bring you reusable bags. They're terrific.
They're terrible.
They last forever, especially the IKEA ones that you buy for like, you know, they're really like a dollar.
The ones that are made in Chinese sweatshops?
Is that what they say?
Sure.
Those
or
blue
Swiss,
IKEA.
Swiss shops? Sweatshops, yeah.
Swedish
sweatshops?
IKEA. I don't know.
No, but obviously, if you have all these reusable bags, what are they made of? Cloth, is that right?
Summer cloth. And summer cloth that's almost like a canvas that, yeah, has like a plastic coating of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
But they last forever. Those things would like survive a nuclear war or something.
You always look like a jerk, though, carrying them in, right? Yeah, the guy had all these canvas bags under his arm going into the store, right? I don't know. It's not very manly. Not that coming out of plastic bags is, but I miss, that's why, I'll tell you what, as more of this stuff happens, you know who's going to get hurt? Retailers. You know why? It's going to be one more thing to make people go, "Screw it, I'm ordering it online." I guarantee that's what's going to happen. You're just making it harder on the retailers with these dumb bans, because if you order from Amazon, they're going to ship it to you in a cardboard box you can recycle, or they're going to give it to you one of those plastic or those, I don't know what they are. You can't recycle them, though. I know
right.
That. Don't recycle those. They're not, you can't recycle them. But somebody's going to go, this is what's going to happen. Somebody's going to go to a store without their reusable bag, try to buy a bunch of stuff. They're going to go, "Sorry, I can't give you bags. Against the law." And the guy's going to go, Forget it. I'm never coming. I'm not doing this again. I can just go online. It could be in my house in an hour. Why would I deal with this? All this does is make it harder on retailers. I'm telling you. That's it. People are not going to deal with this. They are going to say, I don't want the hassle. That's how people are. They go, I don't want the hassle. I'm not dealing with it. Now, you won't because you like the canvas bags.
I use them for everything. Also, a lot of co-ops and a lot of stores, they just provide all different shapes and sizes of boxes that came in through the shipping of their items.
Right.
So they just give you a box. They have somebody that helps you carry it to your car if you've got a lot.
But if they ban plastic bags and you want to go grocery shopping, but you can also order your groceries online and have them delivered to your door for free, why would you bother dealing with the nonsense of you're driving to the grocery store, you got to deal with waiting online, got to deal with an idiot clerk checkout person, or those dumb scanning machines that go item removed and then it starts flashing, right?
The guys
come over and press the code. Do you wish to bag this item? Do you wish to bag this item over and over again? Or just order it online. It's at your house in an hour.
Yeah.
No worry about a thing. See?
I think there are some people, though, who will always want to go to the market. Who will always want to go to the grocery store.
The market.
Store.
Listen to her.
I know.
The little market.
Like the old timey dawn.
No, yeah. Like in your community.
Go down
community.
And get your, go to the bakery, and then go to the butcher, and then go to the seafood store.
Chestnut Hill,
store.
We have the market. You know,
very nice.
Co-op.
The milkman comes and delivers.
No.
Leaves a jug on the doorstep.
Jug on the doorstep.
Love that. No, I agree with you. Some people like to go shopping, but not men. Men don't like to go shopping. Not
worst.
At all. It's the worst.
But Zioli, you cook, so you like to get, like, I like to get the fresh stuff. The dog food and stuff like that, yeah, you can get it delivered. But the fresh tomatoes or the fresh, you know, any fresh produce. I want to pick that out myself.
Agree. But what's going to happen is this. Somebody's going to be driving to the store, realize they forgot their canvas bags. They know they're not going to be able to get a bag. They're going to go, well, forget it. And then just turn around and go home. And the retailer is going to suffer.
You got lots of room in that Cherry Hill Volvo. Just keep them in a little bin in the back.
Yeah, but then when you bring the groceries in, if you forget to bring them back to the car, you see.
Oh, that's true.
And then you're on your way to ShopRite or Wegmans. You go, ah, I forgot. Damn it.
It happens.
Right?
It happens. Literally, it happens to me all the time.
All the time.
On Sunday when we do our, you know, big food shopping, we always bring them. But then, like, when you just stop and, you know, need to pick something up and you don't have a bag and they don't give you a plastic bag, like, what are you going
to
do?
Yeah. Hey, we're not allowed to give this to you. We'll be put in prison. We'll be shot to death. So we can't give you a bag. So you're going to go, all right, I can't buy this. Or I'll buy less. And then I'll buy two things because I don't have nothing to carry it in. Now, it's just the retailers are going to suffer by this, as they always do. There's always an unintended consequence of that. Also, by the way, I've got news for you. All the garbage that's put, where is all that garbage? What is it put into? When your garbage truck comes, do they just fling garbage cans into the back of the truck? Or is all that garbage in a container?
It's in a bag.
What is that bag made out of? Is it a reusable cloth garbage bag? Does the garbage man dump it in and go, here, lady, here's your canvas bag back? No.
It's in plastic.
Hefty
bags. But now communities are saying, like in Philadelphia, I put it in a clear plastic bag, like from the dry cleaner. Now you cannot have it in a plastic bag. So you have to put it in a box or a paper bag. All your recycling. Can't have it in any plastic bag.
Right. No play because it jams the machines.
Right.
But your trash still goes in plastic bags, right?
Right. The regular trash.
And now, when you used to go to the store and you'd get all those little Shin God plastic bags, you know what we use them for? Diapers, right? You have a dirty diaper, you put one in the bag, you tie it up, you throw it out. Without that, you know what we do? We put it in a bigger garbage bag, tie it up, and throw it out of the house, because I want that out of the house.
Right.
So now, instead of using a little plastic bag, I've now used a giant plastic bag, so now that's even worse for the environment, theoretically, if all this plastic, hysteria is to be believed.
First of all, Americans have to potty train their kids, you know, train their kids sooner.
Right. Dawn would do it on day one in the hospital.
Seriously, look at the studies before diapers, when they were cloth diapers back in the day.
Right.
They had their kids, before they were 1 year old, they were potty trained.
Okay, so I'm supposed to believe now you would use a cloth diaper. You, Miss Germaphobe. No way. You throw the kid out before you throw the...
There are services. It's a great gift to give a diaper service, cloth diaper service.
Well, they come to the house, they pick it up.
Yep.
How 1% is that?
I know, right?
The cloth diaper service. Man.
Take my poopy diaper out of here.
Yeah, we'll bring you new, fresh cloth diapers.
But
can I ask you another question?
Diapers are a big problem.
Well, yes, but people have to poop. They got to do it. Yeah. So what are you gonna, adults, too, with who wear Depends,
That's
right?
That's true.
So,
and those are, like, bigger. So now you got...
So should we ban those two, and then now we'll have cloth depends, and the disease will spread?
Oh, can you imagine?
Right, because people won't wash them properly. See, that's the other thing too. Is I'm convinced of this. You know the reason why people are getting sicker and sicker with foodborne illness? Mm-hmm. Want to know? I'll tell you the truth. Turn on your sink in your kitchen and realize the low flow pressure of that sink. Go to a commercial restaurant and see the difference. I'm telling you, the EPA, the dumb water flow rules, if you don't go in there and take that out, which I don't think tell you to do because it's probably against the law and I'll probably go to prison if I tell you that. Otherwise, it comes out like a trickle. How do you possibly wash dishes and clean them properly with that little trickle that comes out because of the EPA low flow sense nonsense? You can't. So then you got to put in the dishwasher. And then the dishwasher
takes like 3 hours.
Yeah. And what does it use to run a dishwasher?
Energy.
Energy, thank you. Versus just throwing out a paper plate, right? Throw out a paper plate, it biodegrades into the earth. Versus loading up a dishwasher. I never understand people that do this. We don't use paper plates for the environment, but I'll run the dishwasher 8 times a day. The dishwasher isn't run by hamsters running around a little thing, you know? The temperature gets up to 100 something degrees, yes, right, to kill everything, and then it comes out. I love these people that go, yeah, no, we don't use disposable. We like using the dishwasher, which runs on coal, by the way.
Yes.
That's so dumb.
Thanks for taking the Zioli Show with you. Rich Zioli, weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Chris is in New Jersey. Chris, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Rich. I'm just thinking about this, and I've heard this discussed before, but it occurred to me that the reason why we're here with the plastic bags is because 20 years ago, everybody went crazy about paper bags and saving the trees and saving paper. Now you have paper companies across this country that are conserving at an enormous rate. There's almost more trees than we can harvest for paper products. If we went back to that, it's easily recyclable and much easier to use. Instead, we have oceans full of plastic coming from China and basically 5 major countries in the Pacific. So whatever they do in Canada is going to hardly have any impact at all on the pollution problem because it's mostly coming from Vietnam, China, and some of those other major countries over in the in Southeast Asia.
You know, you're 100% right. And that's why, and you're right, because I remember the plastic bag scare years ago. We got to stop the paper bag scare. All this paper, we got to stop the trees, the rainforest, the trees, right?
Yeah, and right? What about Trader Joe's? I love going to Trader Joe's. They got paper bags that they hand out, and they discount you to keep using the paper bags, and they last for years.
And
I
paper...
I Dawn's got to wash out the insides of her bags, because if she's putting stuff in there, that's going to leave germs.
That's right.
I spray it with Lysol. You know?
She sprays it with chemicals.
Oh, all right.
It's amazing, right?
Yeah. The contradictions.
The Dawn stands on contradictions. They're amazing, right? No, and the paper, by the way, paper biodegrades. You put it into what? Take a piece of paper, leave it on the ground. When it rains, there's no more paper. It's not that complicated, right?
Exactly.
All right.
That simple.
Chris, thank you. Also, don't you think we should invade? We should launch a war against all those countries you just named for using plastic?
I think that's the perfect solution.
I think so, too.
You drop a couple of bombs that melts all the plastic, and you got no problem.
Got no problems. We got to take them out. All right. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate that. Because there's no unintended consequence with war. That definitely has no impacts on the environment. I can tell you that.
Nothing.
Now, Marianne has a great point. As a busy full-time working mom, I don't have time to worry about leaving the house with the supply of shopping bags. If I can't shop conveniently, I'm going to order online. Amazon gets you your stuff the next day or even the same day. I'll go a step further. You go to the store, you want to run in and get milk. You can't leave the kids in the car because if you do, then the state will come down on top of you and take your kids, rip your kids out of your arms and put them in a home. You'll go to jail. You'll have to, right? I'm not exaggerating. So now you're supposed to get the kids out of the car, get your bags out of the car, and all go in like a happy family to the grocery store. No thanks. No thanks. I'm not dealing with it.
It's a nice tradition.
No, it's a terrible waste of time.
And they've got the little, it looks like a fire engine, like cart, and they can sit in there. They can help
you
remember.
Thank you for this.
They can help Daddy remember the bags.
Because I can't tell you how many times I've been driving home going, oh, I forgot to get milk. I'm not taking them out of the car now. And if I pull up to Wawa, even if I keep the car running and it's cool and it's inside, it'll be the SWAT team descending on top of me. the kids ripped from my arms. So we've also made it that much more complicated on retailers too, because you can't just even run in anymore because the kids will get, you know, carjacked, and then the boogeyman's there.
That's right.
The pedophiles. Thank you.
Always pedophiles
circling
everywhere.
The block.
See,
we're nuts. But I'm telling you,
how many people remember going in the grocery store or the market with their parents or their grandparents? It's a great memory. They teach you percentages, taxes. Can learn math.
We can learn math.
You can.
Right? You learn math, percentages, and taxes. Beautiful thing. Look, kids, they're screwing us on this, too. Sales tax on this now, too. I got to give Phil Murphy 7% just for buying this. Look, kids. It's great lessons right there. Great lessons.
But did a plastic bag ban stop? I mean, you use the Kevlar bag, so do I. So, like, mm-hmm. a ban didn't make us do it. We just did it because we want to do it. So, like, why punish? It's just ridiculous. Why punish people who, you know, like Rich said, don't have the time to, you know, always carry their bags with them?
Yeah. I got the kids and then my bags, like a jerk going into the store, all this under my arms. You know that? You know who started? I blame Mama Zioli for this. Let me play this audio, okay? The kids are with them, right?
Yes.
I want you to hear the hysterical Italian parents yelling at each other in the background. So my kids, let me set the scene for you. Patrick and Claire are on my mom and dad's bed, and they're making slides out of the covers. Aww. And the pillows, okay? Take a listen. That's my daughter laughing.
What are you guys doing?
We're going down the slide.
On Grandma's bed?
Yeah, and I'm climbing up the jungle gym.
Oh, be careful, baby.
See, be careful. Be careful.
Don't go back there.
Don't go back there.
Go back down the slide again.
It's my son.
No, I'm right here, honey. I'm right here.
Ouch. Here, stop it for a second. So you see my dad? They can get stuck in the back of the bed. They get stuck in the back of the bed.
Oh, my God.
So they're just playing on a bed, right? This is the mentality now. My son having my daughter's laughing. My son, I'm sliding. How cute are my kids, by the way?
Oh,
how
their voices.
Cute are their voices?
Precious.
And then my mom, be careful, careful.
I got to say, your voice is,
right?
It's not that far off.
Be careful. And then my dad, hey, watch it. They get stuck in the bed. Stuck in the bed. What the hell's he even talking about stuck
He's
in the bed?
Talking about like in between like the headboard and the mattress.
Oh, yeah.
Wait,
we got to bring the jaws of life in to save them from that. You move the mattress. Slide the mattress out.
Oh, my God.
And I'm climbing up the jungle gym.
Oh, be careful, baby.
I'm climbing the
Don't
jungle.
Go back there.
Now I'm going to go back down the slide again.
No, I'm right here, honey. I'm right
yeah.
here.
Ouch.
Oh, you sillies. Are you making a fort?
Yeah, we're hiding in pillows.
You're hiding in pillows?
Yeah, come on, Claire.
Claire, are you hiding in the pillows?
Yeah, look.
Claire, what are you doing, honey?
Look, I am.
You're hiding in the pillows, too?
No, I'm hiding in these.
All right, Claire, you hide in those pillows, baby.
Claire, you hide in the other
The pillow manager. Just let him play. Just let him play. You don't have to come in there and start, you know. Make sure you're hiding too. Your fair share of pillows.
She can work for ESPN. She's doing like the play-by-play.
This is why I am the way I am. I had to deal with this. Kids can get stuck back there. I'm watching them. I'm right here. I'm watching them. The helicopter grandma.
Aww.
They're playing inside on a bed with pillows.
Precious.
They can get stuck.
They can get stuck back there. I have to get the jaws of life to come in and free them from that. Yeah. My mom is so mad that I'm playing this right now.
Oh, it's beautiful.
I don't sound like that. Watch it, baby. You don't want to get hurt by the pillows, baby. Watch it, baby. Grandma's right here, baby.
Oh, be careful, baby.
Oh, be careful, baby.
Don't go back there.
Don't go back there. You never know what's back there. You never know. You might not come back. You never know what's back there. Who knows? Nobody knows. What is back there is what I want to know. What the hell are you keeping back there? Man, this is what I got to deal with. It's my
Lions
life.
And tigers.
Right, yeah. Don't go back there. We lost 6 kids back there. Go back there. You never see them again.
Oh, my God.
Don't do that, honey. Oh. Baby.
Oh, be careful, baby.
See?
Don't go back there.
Don't go back there. And my son is just, you know, we're climbing the jungle gym. We're having fun. What are you doing? This is the perfect example of why everybody's afraid of everything right now in society. Exactly what I mean.
It's adorable.
For the earliest age, all you hear is, be careful, be careful, be careful. Don't go back there, baby. And my dad is no better, right? They could get stuck in the bed. I don't want them to get stuck back there.
I'm going to go back down the slide again.
No, I'm right here,
children can get stuck in things like that. What? What? How many kids? Do we have this nationwide epidemic of kids getting stuck in bed headboards? And then we lose them? You know what? I had two kids, but they got stuck in a bed. We left them there. Couldn't get them out. Did you move the mattress? God damn it, I didn't think about that.
I know.
Wish I thought about that.
Your dad is probably like at the hardware store looking up, like childproofing the bed.
Yeah, childproofing the bed. Kids get stuck. I have to call 911. They come in with the bed delivery team, the response team, bed response,
bed SWAT.
Oh man, this is why we're all so scared.
CSI the bed division.
CSI bed division. That's what I tell my wife all the time. Don't say be careful to the kids. Don't say be careful. I ban those words in our house. Then what happens is they get to be a certain age and they're afraid of everything. They're afraid of beds. You make them afraid of freaking beds. You see what I mean?
No, I'm right here, honey. I'm right here.
Yeah. Ouch.
Oh, you silly. Yeah. Are you making a fort?
Don't use plastic bags. Don't use plastic bags for that fort. All right, very good. 855-839-1210.
That was precious.
Outstanding, right?
You have wonderful parents.
Greatest audio.
Thank you, John, for that. John Hoyt from his wife. Be careful, there's plastic bags back there. I tell you what, you see, you keep listening to the show, you never know what's going to come around, right?
Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.